The Fan on Demand. Correct. As long as you're not talking political correctness. Bob McCowan in Primetime Sports. Now on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Primetime Sports for Tuesday, July 29th. I am Sid Sixero. He is Elliot Friedman. Bob McCowan on vacay. He's back next week. Had a couple things planned for this section of PTS. However, there are some things breaking at this hour, as Alex Sixero on the radio side just informed us. Jake Gardner signed a five-year contract with the Toronto Maple Leafs. He's locked in for that length of time. Total $20.25 million. And again, a cap hit of just a little over $4 million a season. Just as a frame of reference, Dion Phaneuf's is seven. And on a side note, as Alex also said in the update, the Raiders are in talks with a group from San Antonio about possibly relocating. We can also tell you Sun Media is reporting that a group from Toronto has put in a letter of intent, a non-binding letter of intent, in terms of bidding on the Buffalo Bills. And today was the day where people, if they were semi-serious about it, would have to do that. So there's a lot of moving parts here for each.
A lot of breaking news. All we need is the ticker going.
We just need one good Danny Valencia move, and then this we just go.
We need Walter Cronkite on set to announce all this.
Mind blown. Jake Gardner, 5 years, a Leaf. Your thoughts?
Well, it's a good contract. Like that's a good deal for both the player, $20 million, and the team, because a $4 million cap hit for Gardner might seem a lot by now, but by the end of that contract, I believe in the player. I don't think it's going to seem like a lot at all. I like Jake Gardner a lot. I'm a fan of his game. I think he's still young. I think he's got room to grow. I think that the biggest problem he and Randy Carlyle had with each other last year at times is that they're both stubborn guys. And I think sometimes Carlyle was stubborn with him, but I think at other times Gardner was equally stubborn about some of the things Carlyle wanted him to do, which could help his game. And I think that he's a good player, and I think he only gives up one unrestricted free agent year in this contract. But I'd have to double check that. I think it's only one because he turns 28 just after it ends. I think that it's a great contract for Toronto and him, assuming he turns into the player that I think he will.
Chris Johnson of Sportsnet breaking it on Twitter. Chris joins us now on Primetime Sports. Good day, Chris. How you doing?
Doing very well, guys. How are you?
I'm good. Any part of this surprise you?
Maybe a little bit. You know, I know that that the Leafs and Gardner's camp have been talking about a deal since, you know, pretty soon after the season. So it's kind of funny that he's the last player to be wrapped up because he was one of the first that they had negotiations with.
Now, do you think, Chris, that was because they were thinking shorter-term bridge? Because that's what I had been led to believe that was going to happen.
Yeah, and I think that they were pretty close, Elliot, on a two-year deal that was going to pay him about $2.75 million. So obviously, you know, by him getting a few more years, and you're right, he does give up one unrestricted free agent year, and this deal, you know, makes a little bit more money or a lot more money in this contract. So there's a bit of a bet from both sides there. But, you know, it's not a huge surprise to me. I understand why some people think that, but, you know, I do think, you know, what we've seen a trend here with the Leafs is that a lot of bridge building, so to speak, has been done. I mean, you know, it's been clear with some of the decisions they made already with other defensemen that both Jake Gardner and Morgan Riley are going to get more of a chance to play next year. And I'm with Elliot. I'm a fan of this guy as a player, and I think there's a tremendous upside here. And, you know, this will probably end up looking like a bargain if his career keeps trending in the right direction.
Now, you're on vacation right now, correct?
So to speak. I mean, I'm sitting in my apartment. So.
Yeah, I was going to say, what were you doing when you got the information that this deal was done when you broke it?
Honestly, I was
Were you cooking
radio.
A burger, or what were you doing?
I was listening to Sid on the radio. I wish that I was doing something a little bit more extravagant, but you know how it is. But even when you're on vacation, I'm still interested in the rest of the world of sports, and I'm digging at the Blue Jays right now.
I was going to guess watching The View on PVR, but that was just my guess for you personally.
I was going to do that a little bit later before the Jays game. So
just so we go down this road right away, I would like to reference the Sportsnet ticker, which has been retweeted by our Sportsnet account here in the Rogers family. Last season, Jake Gardner, who just signed a 5-year contract, had the highest Corsi percentage among any Leafs player at 46.4%. So let it sit, let it marinate, let that be what it is in this new Kyle Dubas era that we're living.
You just unleashed 26,000 Twitter fights.
Well, let it happen. I will not go near those scraps, but I just want to put that out there because it is what it is. Now, in terms of the payroll, where does that leave this team, Chris? And if it's tight, what are they going to do?
Well, it's a little bit tight, and certainly if you scrolled over to CapGeek now, I believe it'd be over. But, you know, a large part of that is that they still have 17 forwards under contract. As we've seen, there's been a lot of kind of bargain shopping by the Leafs, whether it was Mike Santorelli yesterday with Daniel Winnick, David Booth, and the like. But, you know, I think if you project out a few cuts there, I mean, they're only going to carry 13 or I guess at most 14 into the season, barring any unexpected injuries. The Leafs should be okay, but, you know, they're going to have to monitor it because, as I mentioned, I think part of where they ended up in trouble last season is that they went into the year very close to the line, and then with the injuries they ended up suffering, that's why they ended up with a team that actually went over the salary cap a little bit. That and a couple bonuses paid to Jake Gardner and Morgan Riley. And that will be something that will have to be monitored. And I guess the question is, who's going to monitor that? Because I think that'll be part of the future, you know, front office hires that still need to happen with the Leafs, so someone maybe to manage the cap on a daily basis and make those types of decisions.
Nazem Kadri just tweeted, "I'm at Jay Gardner. I know who's picking up next dinner, feeling like steak."
Boom, you just got Kadri'd. Boom. All right, well, and no laughs around here. I thought it was pretty good. I thought it was a good line.
And I'm sure there will be some nice bottles of wine.
Oh, I think so. I think
too.
Guys, to both of you, though, I go back to the last vision of Carlisle and Gardner that we were left with following Randy Carlisle's final news conference of the season. Now, Gardner's not mentioned by name, but there are some who assume that Gardner was being referenced by Carlisle in terms of the player who believed his role was very different than what Carlisle's role was for him. Was that overblown, Fried? Because I thought when I heard that looked like a vicious throwing under a bus of a young player.
Well, this is what whatever gets said publicly, this is what I believe privately. And Chris can tell you if I'm right here, I'm completely out to lunch. I think that last year, Jake Gardner had a good series against Boston after he got put in the lineup. And I think Jake Gardner kind of went through a phase where he said, this coach doesn't like me. I'm not comfortable the way I'm playing for him. And I'm just going to play my way and we'll see how it all works out. And it worked in the short term. And I don't think their exit meeting last year was very good. I'd heard that I don't know if they said anything really nasty to each other, but they definitely didn't leave on the same page. Now, the one thing I'd heard this year is that I'm pretty sure the Leafs called other teams and said, if we wanted to trade Jake Gardner, what could we get? And the story I heard from a few different people in the Leaf organization is that when those reports got out, Carlisle actually went to them and said, it's too soon to trade this guy. We're not really serious about trading this guy, are we? And they kind of backed away. And as you saw, like, I don't think next year Gardner and Riley are going to start the year playing with each other. But I do think what they want is that Fenos minutes to come down a bit to save the wear and tear on him, and Gardner's and Riley's to go up because they think those two guys are ready for a little bit more responsibility and a bit more development. How do you feel on that, CJ?
I think you're bang on with that second part in particular. I didn't hear the same report that you did about Randy, or I guess I actually read it in your 30 Thoughts blog, I believe. But you know, that all kind of jives with what I saw. I mean, I was with the team a lot last season, and I remember at one point, I want to say it was a little after the Olympic break, rather, and I had a conversation with Jake Gardner, and he had said that basically him and Morgan Riley at one point had a discussion because they were living together last year in the same apartment, and they just decided to sort of say, screw it, we're going to do it our way, which obviously, I mean, in some ways isn't a good message to put out there because, you know, a coach is telling you to do something. But I do think that he did feel that he had to kind of take matters into his own hands a little bit. And part of this now, he's clearly gotten a good commitment from the Leafs in the form of this contract, and he's still going to be going back next year with the same coach. They're going to have to find a way, I think, to coexist a little bit better, maybe communicate a little bit better between them, because you're right, he's going to be used more. I think that much is clear, that you know the Leafs are looking to give this guy an enhanced role, and he and Randy Carlisle, at least, Randy Carlisle as a coach, are going to have to figure out how to make that work between them.
Chris Johnson of Sportsnet here on Primetime Sports. Breaking news, Jake Gardner and the Leafs have agreed on a five-year contract worth $20.25 million. The cap hit on the Leafs' end is not bad, a little over $4 million by the end of the contract, and as Friedge alluded to earlier, but by the end of that contract, that's going to be decent money, we would assume. That's a good price for Jake Gardner.
If he turns out to what they believe that he will be, that's a great contract.
And, I agree.
And you know what? Like, even if he turns out to be underpaid at 28, if he plays the way underpaid by NHL standards, I should say, because everybody always jumps on me when I say things like that. If he's in position to become an unrestricted free agent, I think 3 days before he turns 28. I mean, if he does what he can do, his next deal is going to be massive. He is in position A to really break the bank if he continues to do what he's supposed to do.
A question for both of you, Chris, starting with you. Who, as of this moment right now, would you say, and I'm talking all around play, offense, defensive zone, everything, who is Toronto's best defenseman?
I think Gardner is going to be there. I don't think he was that last year. And, you know, I know Dion Phaneuf kind of followed a few Leafs. You know, Phil Kessel comes to mind too, as players that trailed off and underperform, you know, quite notably when their season went off the rails at the end. But I do still think that Dion, for the minutes he played, was their best defenseman last season. But I don't think it will take long for that to be thought differently of, you know, when Jake Gardner does get to play a little bit more and play in different situations and you know, earn the trust, I think, a little bit more of Randy Carlisle. And, you know, I have to think, you know, today right now he's feeling pretty good, not just because he signed this contract versus a lot of money that's going to change his life in that way, but I think about his standing within this organization, because for a long time here, he's only played three seasons with the Leafs, but he's heard a lot of trade rumors and a lot of speculation about his future. And right now it's pretty clear that future is with the Leafs. And I think that he has a chance really to grow into their best defenseman, at least in the short term. And then maybe his roommate Morgan Riley might eventually challenge him as time goes on.
Yeah, I think it's going to be Riley eventually. I think that Riley is the guy. Like, I look at him and the way he can attack and still get back, like, I don't like to compare players, but it's what Doughty does really well. And I don't know if Riley's going to be as good as Doughty. That's going to be a small class of people that are going to be as good as Doughty. But he has that ability that Doughty has. So I really like Riley. I think Phaneuf is their best defenseman. He plays all their hardest minutes. He plays their most minutes.
Just playing minutes, though, equal the best guy.
Yes,
you know, really?
Because he's the guy he's the only guy who was suited for that role. And that's because he was their best. I'm curious about this. Like, they want him to scale back next year. They really felt he hit a wall this year. And the one thing I'm really curious about is, do we eventually get to a point with the Toronto Maple Leafs where they kind of fight with him on, we want you playing the left side? Even though you're, because look, they've balanced, they're one of those teams now that said, we want right shot, left shot. He says he wants to play right, even though he's a lefty shot. I wonder if they feel it will ease the wear and tear on him if he plays more on the left side.
I think what's weighing, and Chris, I'll go to you on this, I think what's weighing on the Leafs and Dion is the letter on his jersey. And as long as that guy is the captain of this hockey team, you have to give him those minutes. You have to lean on him.
I
think you
that.
Do.
I don't buy that.
I think there's a lot
third
of pride line, that goes into that.
Some third-liners are captains in the league. I mean, you know, I guess it's sort of trended away from that over time, but you know, I don't think that necessarily means he has to play those minutes. However, if it comes to a point where he's on the second pair or really seeing a sizable decrease, obviously that's going to be a story and give us much to talk about on a future radio show down the line.
Definitely. Chris Johnson of Sportsnet here on Primetime Sports. Again, the breaking news, 5 years, $20.25 million. Leafs and Jake Gardner have agreed on a deal, this breaking within the last 30 minutes. This
by Chris Johnson.
I shouldn't forget that. So
who was cooking burgers, flipping burgers when it happened.
Watching slash listening to the show, I'll have you at.
No, but he didn't mention me. He just mentioned you. So
you know what?
It was the bad hour of the show.
You're right.
That's right.
He just mentioned me. I should have said that as well.
Yes.
Chris, before we let you go, we go from one defenseman whose business has been taken care of to another who's slated for an arbitration hearing later this week in PK Subban. A lot of people don't think it'll even get to that. Whatever that means, I'm not sure. But based on what you are hearing with PK and the Habs, where is this going?
I'd be very surprised if the hearing ended up happening. I mean, you look historically and even the last few weeks here, these hearings end up, you know, forcing a deadline, forcing the sides to make agreement. And, you know, there's been a lot of fact finding that's gone on over a number of months, you know, between the two sides here. And I'd be shocked if it went to an arbitrator. And you're looking at a short-term deal. I still think that some longer-term deal, you know, I'm not sure if it's going to be an eight-year type of one, but we'll get worked out between the sides, you know, before Friday or on Friday morning.
Good stuff, Chris. Nice job today, and we appreciate you jumping on. Thank you.
Okay, guys. Thank you.
Chris Johnson of Sportsnet initially reporting the deal between Jake Gardner and the Leafs, 5 years, $20.25 million. And, yeah, I mean, the only thing I keep going to, Frege, is I can't get the taste of Randy Carlyle's exit news conference out of my mouth on that. I really thought this was, you know, Randy thinking he was done and just throwing some guys under buses, and he couldn't have cared less. He thought his time as the Leafs coach might have been over. And that's the only part of this contract I keep going back to. But, again, I could be wrong. Could be wrong.
You know, things change. You got to adapt. And I'll tell you this, Randy Carlyle, I don't think he likes what happened this offseason with his coaching staff and him a little bit. His pride's going to be a bit stung, too.
Still has a job, though.
Still has a job, but that doesn't mean, you know, sometimes you get whacked a little bit. He's going to be motivated to show whoever he feels slighted him that, don't treat me like that because I'm a good coach.
That cuts both ways, though.
Sure it does.
You can take it that way, mm-hmm. which is the professional way to do it, mm-hmm. or you can be petulant like me.
He's not a petulant
guy. Say to hell with all of them.
He's not like that.
I'm not saying he is. I'm just saying that's how some people may take it.
Some people may take it, but those people are generally the losers. Present company excluded, of course.
Well, thank you. I know you're not talking about me. From the world of Leafland to a very interesting Blue Jay land we walk into as the Jays are preparing for game two of their three-game series at Fenway tonight. Marcus Stroman will take to the bump after a thorough thrashing was delivered to the Boston Red Sox last night. And never mind on the field, off the field's getting just as interesting. Joe Siddle joining us live from Fenway Park. He and Jerry Howarth will have the call. Mr. Siddle, how you doing?
Very good, thanks.
Was that your rental last night, the Cabrera smashed with the home run, or no?
Good thing I cab it around here.
When that happens to your car at Fenway, how do you write it down in the insurance claim? Like, what do you say?
There has to be a waiver there.
I have a Melky clause. I have a home run clause. Like, how does that work?
That's very, exactly? Very poor parking on somebody's part.
Yeah, I would. I know it's. I'm sure it's cheap back there, but and a lot of people take it. I would. Not
I wonder
take
why.
Yeah, now no we kidding. Know why it's so inexpensive.
No kidding. Joe, just throwing this out there. Have you seen John Lester yet? Is he at Fenway?
I've seen him in a Red Sox uniform.
Well, there you go. He's actually getting ready to pitch tomorrow night. Any thoughts on this, on the talk of Lester and some team in the AL East heating up, potentially Toronto? Has that spilled into Fenway? What do you make of this?
Well, I think it's all spilled everywhere these last couple of days. John Lester's name has been mentioned everywhere, and there's lots of questioning whether he's going to even be pitching here tomorrow at Fenway Park. Mm-hmm. And for the Blue Jays, you know, hopefully not. It'd be nice to bypass him, but the only issue is I'd hate to see him go to the Orioles or somewhere in the East.
Well, hopefully he is pitching, but in a blue uniform.
Wouldn't that be special?
That would be really... Like, you know, it was interesting. I was driving home after the show last night, Joe. I heard your interview with Casey Janssen, and his answer to your first question, like, we asked for it to be pulled, and we played it a couple times on the show today, how, you know, he's basically says, we as players hope that something is going to happen. And as a guy who's a former major leaguer like yourself, I always wonder, do the players look at these situations and say, I really hope our management delivers for us in these kinds of situations.
Yes, absolutely. And I interpreted Casey's response the exact same way you did. I just asked him, for a guy like Casey and the other guys that have been around the major leagues for a little bit here, they're veterans, and you know, that window to win a championship, that doesn't come every day. Then it can be closing on some guys. And I asked that question for that reason, just to feel what the vibe is, especially amongst the veterans. And you guys heard his answer. He said, we're busting our tails, doing what we can to compete on the field here. And he certainly hopes the front office is doing the same. And that's exactly the way I interpreted. He wants to see some additions. He knows how close this team is. And I think he's very well aware that the AL East is not in this shape most years. There's not too many years where you see the Red Sox down like this, the Yankees down like this, and for that matter, even Tampa has been competing so well over the last number of years. So that's what I got out of Casey as well, and I think he's echoing the sentiment of some of his teammates in that clubhouse.
Joe Siddall live from Fenway Park here on Primetime Sports. Jays and Red Sox go at it again tonight. Ruby De La Rosa taking on Marcus Stroman. Stroman has not allowed a run in his last 14 innings of work. Sticking with the subject we're on here, Joe, let's assume nothing of significance is done by Alex. Nothing further is done of significance by the time 4 p.m. Eastern on Thursday rolls through. How deflating do you think that would be to the clubhouse?
Well, I think it could be partially deflating, but remember, I think this is one of those years where there's been a lot of talk about maybe more moves happening in the month of August, and I know there's the waivers to deal with, but there's just so many teams that are in pennant races, quite frankly, right now. There's so many teams involved, and there's a lot of teams really wondering, and you take the Rays, for example, they're really just been teetering on, are we in it, are we not? They weren't in it a few weeks ago. All of a sudden, they get hot, and instead of David Price being sold somewhere, they're planning on keeping them and maybe looking for a piece themselves. So I think that's just the fact of the matter, because you've got that extra wild card again. There's so many teams involved. But I think to answer your question, it will have to be deflating. But at the same time, it's still not the end of the season. You still have that month of August where something could get done.
All right, Joe, let's appoint you interim general manager. Okay.
Okay.
Would you deal Stroman under any circumstances?
No.
Okay, good answer. I like
good
that answer.
So good fun. Answer.
Would you deal Sanchez if you knew it would get you Lester?
No.
Woo.
It's crazy, isn't it?
That's interesting. Four innings in the major leagues and you wouldn't deal him.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's very difficult. It's a tough call to make. I am one of those, based on what I've seen, I would build my organization around Stroman and Sanchez. Now, they're prospects, and maybe they don't turn out to be that great of major league pitchers, and I would be wrong, but those to me are building blocks, and I think going into the future now, I know Toronto fans don't want to hear about future because it's been so long, but I really believe, you know, you've got Burley and Dickey right now at the, quote, front end of your rotation, and they're not going to be here much longer. And if you can build for the future around Stroman and Sanchez, and even Hutchison for that matter, I think that's a pretty nice future. Now, hey, I'm all in this too, and I'd love to see this team win right now as well. I'm a big fan just like you guys are, but I think to give up that big part of the future, that would be tough. Tough for me because there's no guarantees of anything, even if you do acquire Lester. Although I do believe the number one need on this team is a frontline starter. And I know it sounds silly because everybody needs a frontline starter, but I think the Blue Jays in their situation right now, their lineup is battling. They've been up and down, but they're treading water. They're getting contributions from all these guys to be in this pennant race still. The hitters are coming back sometime soon, and let's say in the next couple of weeks, 3 weeks. I think ultimately if there is a one-game playoff for that wild card right now, and let's say it's tonight and you have to throw Marcus Stroman out there and you win it, now you've got Burley and Dickey to open up a series against maybe the Tigers or A's. You know, I don't feel real good about that, guys. That's where I think, you know, you mentioned like a John Lackey name or an Ian Kennedy. Maybe, you know, maybe not a number one per se, but a kind of a front-end guy.
All right, let's try one more. I don't know how much you've seen Norris, but would you?
I have not.
Okay, so this is a bit dicier. Would you trade Norris, knowing you have Stroman and Sanchez, to get Lester?
Yes.
See, that I'm in this camp. I like Joe as a guest because he agrees with everything I think.
No, but Joe gives you an answer, though.
Yes.
That's why I like Joe.
Yeah.
Joe.
Oh,
you know,
well, thanks.
I appreciate it.
I'm sure.
Sorry, go ahead.
I've heard a lot of good things about this Norris. I haven't seen him, but you got to remember, guys, to get something, you got to give up something.
Sure.
And I just hate to give up what I've seen so far out of Marcus Stroman. And I got a chance, not just Sanchez in two outings. I got to watch him all spring long, and that was my first time seeing him. And I'm thoroughly impressed. I really like this kid, and I think those guys are certainly building blocks. And I'm sure Norris is, too. But you're not going to acquire a John Lester without giving up something. But I don't know if it'll have to be two of those guys and then somebody else, how that would work. But that's why we don't get paid those kinds of bucks. Mm-hmm.
The Toronto Blue Jays are currently 2.5 games out of first in the American League East. They are in Boston tonight. Joe Siddall on the line. He's got the call with Jerry Howarth. You can watch the game also on Sportsnet. The Orioles, in case you are wondering, open up a series at home against a team, who knows, the Jays might be seeing come October for one game, the Anaheim Angels. And that's going to be one to watch as well.
Well, those Orioles are pretty good. I watched them on the West Coast last week.
They are.
That's a good team.
I got to admit, I'm scoreboard watching right now. Am I the only one here scoreboard watching? Joe, are you there yet?
Heck no. We're all scoreboard watching.
Okay, good.
Been for a couple weeks.
Okay. Just wanted to make sure I wasn't the only one. I think we've exhausted what the Jays could do. Let's talk about what the Jays did. Danny Valencia is in. Valencia hasn't been a big-time player for the Royals, but he does some things well. He hits left-handed pitching well, and the Jays have sucked at that for most of the season. And this is a guy, most people wouldn't remember this. He did finish third in AL Rookie of the Year voting in his first year up in 2010. He has shown flashes. He's shown promise. What do you think the Jays have in this guy?
I think they've got a little bit of an upgrade with a right-handed bat. I think with Nolan Reimold back in the loop and in the lineup possibly tomorrow, I've really liked what I've seen from him. So if Valencia can provide something like that, those are two key right-handed bats for a team that's just, quite frankly, not hitting left-handed pitching very well. So I think it's a bit of an upgrade over Steve Tolleson. Steve's done a wonderful job, too, like Kawasaki has. Ryan Goins has come in and done the job. Anthony Ghost. These guys are all really contributing right now, and I think that's what's helping this team stay in this pennant race, because if they weren't filling these holes right now, this team could be in trouble. We saw signs of that before the break. But I think Valencia is another, that right-handed kind of veteran bat, and hopefully he can provide that same kind of thump that it looks like Reimold, and that's a pretty nice combination for a team, again, that's really needs some help against left-handed pitching.
And apparently, Givens said before the game today that Valencia might play some first base, too, because he played it in college. So
he had some experience at first base as well, and I think someone joked, he even mentioned shortstop, but Gibby sloughed that one off and said, no, we have some other people that can play shortstop here.
Joe Siddall here on Primetime Sports, Jays and Red Sox, tonight at Fenway Park. Listen to it here on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. You can watch it on Sportsnet. In terms of on the field last night, Melky Cabrera obviously puts on a hell of a show, going deep from both sides of the plate. But the more, Joe, you see him do this kind of thing, and remember he is in the contract year, I think the discussion has to start moving towards, is he going to be overpriced for what the Jays are willing to do for him next season? And in a way, Baltimore and the Jays are mirroring each other here in terms of what Nelson Cruz is doing at Camden Yards. Nelson Cruz is given an $8 million deal coming off the PED suspension and has been lights out. Where do the Jays think they're going to be financially with Melky, and considering this is Major League Baseball and teams will just throw money at anyone, is there any chance that he's staying?
I sure hope so, because that's a bat that I think right now I'd like to try to re-sign him and get him to stay. He's just an unbelievable hitter, hitting for both average and power, and he's played a nice left field too, and I don't think that probably goes a little unnoticed, and I'm not saying he's a gold glover out there, but he has really made all the plays and then some. He's done a nice job out there, but clearly he's being paid to hit, and he is, I think, going to break the bank somewhere, and I think we can all just hope it's Toronto. I think, he really likes it here. He's got a group around him that I think there's a pretty good group that get along well, and maybe winning down the stretch here wouldn't hurt either to entice him to stay. But bottom line is he's going to have a lot of pretty nice offers because he's going to make a lot of money somewhere.
Boy, he seems like he's been around forever. He's only 29.
Really?
He's been around forever.
Wow.
And, I mean, the past with the PEDs, obviously that's an issue too. But, guys, in this game, it's amazing how things just slowly get kind of not forgotten, but we give people passes in this game, and that's just the way it is, and it's regardless of what you've done in your past, and there's a lot of players that use them, but if you can perform on the field for us, then we slough it aside, and as fans we do it too. So I think that's it's clearly a mistake that he made in his life, but boy, what a tremendous, tremendous hitter. And would he ever look good in a Blue Jay uniform for years to come?
Well, passes, yeah, the word pass has been a theme at times this Major League season. If I remember correctly, it was John Lackey after a game with the Orioles earlier this season when Cruz went deep, reminded the media sometimes, you know, you guys can give free passes to players, and you forget very quickly, and turned a bit of a thing with the Red Sox clubhouse and whatnot. But I mean, it's an incredible, you're right. I mean, Nelson, no one's gonna remember what happened to Nelson Cruz come the offseason. No one's gonna remember with Melky Cabrera come the offseason, and they're gonna cash in huge. You're bang on.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know what? They broke the rules and they paid the price. They were suspended under what the rules were, and they did their time, and now they're back at it. So, you know, what Nelson Cruz is doing right now, you're not kidding. I mean, I forget myself sometime when I watch him on the highlights and the damage he's doing for the Orioles. So it's it will, I think, time does kind of heal those things, and or for most people anyway, maybe not everybody. But, yeah, Melky Cabrera is one of the best hitters I've seen. He's been really special, and if this team can maybe win more down the stretch and maybe get his posse, his teammates to gather around him and do what it takes to get him back here, that'd be a nice signing.
Shai Davidi from the Rogers Media Conglomerate reports scouts from 9 teams are watching Buffalo host Indianapolis tonight. Now, that may be because Indianapolis is Pittsburgh's affiliate, but we can blow it out of proportion.
Yes, we can.
Sean Nolan is starting for the Bisons tonight.
Dun, dun, dun.
So that's just another log to throw on this fire.
There you go.
Even though it may have nothing to do with anything, let's just ramp up the hysteria.
Twist my arm on that one. Joe, quickly, before we let you go, the only negative from last night that anyone can really see was that Reyes seemed to be favoring his right shoulder. Is he in the lineup tonight? And when does Valencia maybe get in and see some action?
I would think you'll see Valencia tomorrow with the lefty Lester scheduled. We'll see how that goes. But Jose Reyes, I spoke to this afternoon, he said that the shoulder's he's just tweaking it. He felt it on that one swing. It's the same throwing shoulder that he talked about a couple of weeks ago when he had the throwing issues. He's been fighting it for a while, but he, you know, with that embracing smile that he has, he says, I'll be all right. I'll be all right. I'm playing. I'm not coming out of the lineup. So is it bothering him? Absolutely. But is he making a big deal of it? No. So he's in the lineup, and we'll hopefully he's okay.
All right, Joe, good stuff. Have a good call tonight. Take care.
All right. Thanks, guys.
There was Joe Siddle live from Fenway Park, part of our Sportsnet 590 The Fan broadcast crew. Game 2, Marcus Stroman against Ruby De La Rosa, Red Sox Jays.
An excellent guest and analyst who agrees with all of my thinking. I am very impressed.
But it wasn't just
bring him back every day.
It wasn't just that, though. He'll give you his opinion.
He gave you the opinion. Absolutely.
I can't stand. Okay, would you trade X? Yeah, it's tough. You know, come on. Let's get some opinions going here. And Joe is more than willing to throw them out there. So I appreciated that. I usually hate the how many scouts are watching games thing.
Oh, why? Because we always do the NHL trade deadline. Here's all the scouts that are watching tonight's game.
Yes. It's just the same thing every night. But considering the tenor of the conversation over the last 24 hours with the Jays team.
Oh, throw the gasoline on the fire.
Oh, my God.
If it's a 2-alarmer, let's turn it into a 4-alarmer.
You got pulling Eric Kratz from the lineup.
That's right. And look what happened.
Throwing us into a frenzy. Goodness gracious. All right.
You had them trading for Paul Splittorff last night.
Yes, I did.
Yeah.
Oh, you know what? The one thing we haven't talked about.
What's that?
The Chris Archer, David Ortiz.
Oh,
thing
I wanted to ask Joe about that. I forgot.
We have a few clips from. It's now turned into a soap opera. It's the week of Chris Archer, and I want your take on. We're going to do that next. I'm Sid Sixero. He's Elliot Friedman. This is Primetime Sports. Bob's not here. Sportsnet Radio Network and 360.
Prices like no other. From a club like no other. The Fan Club. Log on to Sportsnet590.ca. Now more of what you want to hear on Sportsnet 590. The Fan. You got me running, baby. You give me something way
beyond revenue. Primetime Sports Tuesday, July the 29th. It's Xero, Elliot Friedman, Bob McCowan off. He's back next week. Non-waiver trade deadline in Major League Baseball's Thursday at 4 p.m. Eastern. It's going to be fun. Lots of Jays rumors. Nothing crazy yet today. The John Lester thing has been strong, but no deal to announce.
I hope for the second consecutive day somebody gets pulled for a start in Buffalo so you can start extrapolating on what the deal is.
Oh, hold on. Asking you shall receive. Ricky Romero's been pulled. He's not. No, I'm making that up. He's not going.
That would really be something.
At $8 million, yeah. How can a team say no? Couple things before we duck out and everyone gets ready for the Jays and the Red Sox tonight.
Yep.
The Toronto Sun's reporting that the Raptors are looking to move their practice facility. Now, in my opinion, they have the best practice facility set up in the history of time.
But did you hear what they want to do with it?
I'm getting to that.
Oh, okay.
So,
sorry.
No. It was so flight deck is third level at the ACC.
It's excellent.
It's literally an elevator ride up from either the Raptors dressing room and floor of the ACC to the practice facility. I think it's amazing. They want to move it to the X grounds.
Yep.
And not just the X grounds. They want to be neighbors with medieval times at the X grounds. They want to put
maybe
it
maybe that
north.
Could be part of the practice.
What do you? Oh, jousting.
Okay, after your free throw practice, work on your jousting.
That was every Charles Oakley practice, wasn't it?
And you have to call every ball boy a wench.
So they want to take it. I don't know why they want to take it to the X. So what they want to do with the flight deck is even better than where they want to put the new thing. Friege, I'll leave the floor open to you on this one. What do they want to do with the current practice facility of the Raptors? Go.
Drake wants to turn it into a nightclub.
Of course he does.
Yes.
What are they going to call it? Alley-oop?
Drake's.
Just Drake's.
Drake's Coffee Cake Nightclub.
Well, we all know that area of the city on a Saturday night is where you want to be, right? Bay Street, down there, it's just party central.
I remember when they built the thing, it was, this is going to be such a great attraction for players. They can come to their big, fantastic dressing room, and they don't even have to leave to go practice. They just have to go up an elevator. You don't have to leave the building. Great. Now you can sell them on, well, you got to leave the building, but the good news is, after the game, you don't have to leave to party.
Really?
That's the sell job, I guess.
I mean, but how many Saturday games do they have? How many Sunday games do they have?
You can go out any night. Sid, don't you know that?
Oh, don't tell me. I know you can do that. But Drake is kicking them out of the flight deck. The flight deck's one of my favorite parts, one of my favorite sporting aspects of this city.
It's pretty interesting.
You know what? In 5 years, Drake is just going to get bored and kick everyone out of the ACC and make it his man cave.
There's no more events. They'll say, we want to build a new stadium because we want to turn this whole thing into Drake's man cave.
Exactly. Just TVs everywhere. And we're going to do this Drake's way. I'm a Drake guy. I mean, listen, Elliot and I, we're going to see Wiz Khalifa tonight at the amphitheater. We're fans. We're fans of the genre. That's not true. We're not going to see Wiz Khalifa tonight.
I am going to see Arcade Fire next month at the amphitheater.
Really?
Yeah.
I can't get into Arcade
Fire. Oh, what is wrong with you?
Because, you know what it is? Because it's cool. It's cool to get an arcade.
No, they're good. It's actually that they're good.
In Arcade Fire. And take a Grammy. I'm sure they're talented guys. I just, come on.
I thought
did you like it?
I didn't like that one you did earlier, but that was pretty good.
Like my Arcade Fire impression?
That was very good.
That's good.
Actually.
So anyway, Drake's kicking him out of the flight deck. I think it's ridiculous, and I want that on the record. I think it's a ridiculous thing. What was also ridiculous was the Chris Archer, David Ortiz back and forth. That basically went on for 72 hours.
Yeah.
It wasn't just a one-day thing. So Sunday, everyone knows by now, David Ortiz, third inning, pimps this home run off of Chris Archer. Actually, let me go back further.
Yeah.
The backstory is last year's playoffs, he goes deep. David Price didn't like it, pings him this year. There's a bench clearing altercation.
Yep.
Tensions are running high. So Sunday, David Ortiz, boom, Poppy don't preach. That thing is gone. And he chucks the bat in a very aggressive, taunting way. And Chris Archer's on the mound. So Chris Archer, post game, Sunday afternoon, reacts in this way.
All my interactions with him outside of off the field have been good, but when it comes to him on the field, I don't know what makes him think that he can showboat the way he does, and then nobody retaliate, nobody look at him a funny way, or nobody pitch him inside. I don't know why he feels like that, but obviously he feels the way David said he does. He feels like he's bigger than the game. He feels like this show is all about him. I hope that he realizes that there's more that goes into it than just him.
So that is Chris Archer Sunday. Also Sunday, because media people run to the other guy and say, what do you think?
Yes.
David Ortiz said, I'm paraphrasing, he's been in the league 2 minutes, shut up.
Yeah.
That's what he said Sunday. Monday, they go back to Chris Archer, and he doesn't really take it back. Listen.
I never saw Hank Aaron flip his bat. I'm not comparing the two, but they're obviously in the same class of player as far as what they've accomplished. But I guess different people have different ways of reacting.
All right, so that's Chris Archer.
Was that Arcade Fire?
No, Eminem's in the next stall.
Oh, okay.
We didn't know Eminem's on the 25-man roster.
Yeah, just checking.
So basically, Chris Archer yesterday saying, I never saw Hank Aaron do that. I don't know when Chris Archer saw Hank Aaron do anything in person, but that's a topic for another day. This is all very interesting, considering what Chris Archer sometimes has been about in his young MLB career. Now, up until this point, your thoughts on this story are what?
Because David Price has also been complaining about Ortiz.
Of course, yes.
And Ortiz has been ripping Price. If they're so angry at his bat flip or anything, throw at him once. Just stop with the complaining. Stop whining about David Ortiz.
Throw at his head.
No, I don't think you should ever throw at
his head. I think that's what you implied.
I just said throw at him.
In the ribs?
The
elbow. Where are we throwing? Let's be specific about this.
Nah, you know what?
The backside?
The ass, yep. Ass is always a good one.
The backside.
The elbow.
Elbow's dangerous. Elbow's as dangerous as the head.
No, it's not.
Yeah, because elbow puts you on the DL for 60 days.
No, because you know what? Does he wear the padding?
I'm sure they all do.
Yeah, you know, he wears some. It just throws somewhere like that and just get it over with.
Okay.
Don't complain about him. Don't whine about him.
See, I'm with you. Especially if you're Chris Archer.
Do it once and then don't keep doing it again, because then you sound like just a whiner. Do something about it.
Look ridiculous when
either
you go
strike
back a
him
year,
out
or hit him.
Or hit him.
Okay. The story gets weirder when you realize, like, we're talking about taunting here. That's at the core of this story. When you go back a year, let's go back, Elliot.
Yes.
June 12th, 2013, Chris Archer.
Do I have to do the Wayne's World?
Well, Tim and I usually went there.
Yeah.
You want to do it?
Sure.
3, 2, 1. June 12th, last year, Chris Archer against Daniel Nava. End of the inning, Chris Archer strikes out Nava, leaps off the mound and does the Kaepernick bicep kiss while he stares down Daniel Nava. So this is the same kid who is preaching earth about respect for the game and taunting, and this guy's been spitting in people's faces since he got called up. So I got a tip for Chris Archer, if that's indeed your real name. It probably is. When you've been in the league 10 years and you cut that garbage where you're already taunting guys and you've been up for 2 minutes, I will take what you say. I will respect what you say. Don't, a year after that kind of garbage where you're showing up guys and you've been up for 2 minutes, don't start preaching to earth and the baseball community about respect and taunting and bigger than the game. He leapt off that. 12-year-olds have had more respect for their opposition than what Chris Archer had June 12, 2013. And you're going to preach to me about a future Hall of Famer in David Ortiz, one of the greatest Red Sox of all time, 3 rings. Chris Archer has to buy his rings of people's. That's how many rings he has. David Ortiz has 3 rings. Don't talk to me about respect. That's the point I want to make.
Rack him.
Rack him. Unbelievable. Rack him. So enough with that. But it's a pretty intense rivalry right now, isn't it?
It's good stuff. You know, that thing, and I know those of you on radio couldn't see it, but after Archer jumped off the mound, he kisses the bicep, as Sid mentioned, towards Daniel Nava. It reminds me of what PJ does before every hockey night show. He says, you bought your tickets yet? And I look at him and I go, goes, the gun show.
Oh,
he flexes.
My God. You know what? But that's my thing. I do that with McAuliffe every day.
Do you really?
PJ Stock stole my thing.
No, you know what? I got to tell you something. PJ's guns, a little bit better than yours.
All right.
I know
that's one guy's opinion.
I know that's hard to believe.
You think this happens by accident? I work out on the...
I think it happened pretty much on purpose.
I am not taking you to Wiz Khalifa tonight. We are fighting. Who knows what this Jays landscape is going to look like at this time tomorrow, but come along and find out.
At JRock23, the new nightclub name, the Drake Motel.
It's not bad, actually. I'm Sid Sixero. He's Elliot Friedman. Bob McCown back next week. Primetime Sports, Sportsnet Radio Network, and 360 Jays, Red Sox, next.